one day.
Good morning, Barbados. Good morning, all. Welcome once again to another broadcast of Because He Lives. I am the Reverend Wayne Seal, pastor of the Liberty Church of the Nazarene, located at Ruin Road, Belgully, St. Michael. Today is recognized as the second Sunday of the season of Advent, the season where we focus and prepare ourselves to observe and to reenact the first coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus into the world. This period, known more commonly as the Christmas season, is undoubtedly the most exciting and significant season on the Christian calendar. Truth is, most, if not everyone, look forward to this time of the year. Bless the Lord. For the merchants, this is the season of booming trade and high profits. For those involved in the tourist industry, this is a time of high patronage and great financial gains. To the average householder, this is a time of cleaning and decorating, a time for the throwing out of the old and the bringing in of the new. For some, this is a time of sharing and the receiving of gifts. Children relish this season with eagerness, excitement, and much exuberance. Most can't wait until Christmas morning before they rip that pretty paper off their gifts and tearing them open to behold the surprise gifts within. For others, this is a season of parties, fetes, dinners, much drinking, eating, and reveling. Yes, please. The season of Advent, however, ought to be seen as far more than just a season to make money and to enjoy oneself. This ought to be a time of spiritual reflection, a reflection that is both personal and national. Advent is about hope. It is about joy. It is about peace. And it is about love. This season, therefore, ought to be a time for us to reflect on what we ought to be and where we ought to be. It ought to be a time of celebration and anticipation, not just of Christmas Day, but the day of Christ's return. Today, I wish to focus some attention on the first theme of Advent, the theme of hope. My text this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 and verse 6 through 7. It reads, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines hope as to cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or become true or real. The Bible, however, sees hope a bit differently. Hope is understood to be a confident expectation, an assurance that something will come to pass. This hope is not rooted in feelings or in circumstances, but rooted in a faith in a God who declares nothing is too hard for me. Hope, therefore, can be defined as the confident assurance in the promises of God, who is ever faithful and ever true. Isaiah's audience was dealing with a lack of hope. They were facing prospects of war and destruction, darkness and gloom. The mighty Assyrians, like how Russia perhaps has operated, had swooped down on the lesser strength nation. There was much fear and concern about the people, so much so that the future looked dark and dismal. Isaiah's prophecy, however, brought hope, for it was revealed that God was not going to fully let Israel go under. No, he was going to send the Messiah, a Redeemer, who was going to usher in a new era. One who was going to turn their mourning into dancing. One who's going to dispel fear and bring a sense of peace and joy and hope once again to his people. Isaiah prophesied that the future hope and the future happiness of Judah, and I dare say today, our world by extension, the world of all humanity, that hope and that future is found not in the weapons of warfare, not in the skillful words of politicians, not even in the organized religion in itself, but more so in a person, in the presence of the Messiah, the one who we know as our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. He writes, "Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." In Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah points out that this child was going to be like no other child. This child was going to be both divine and human all at the same time. This child will be the source of true joy, the source of true hope, the source of true peace. Yes, please. This child will be the hope for the future. The divine nature of the child is to be seen in the titles of the child: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Each title bears a divine and messianic stamp. In John chapter 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It reads, "He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and before him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." But I like how Paul presents Christ, the divine and human, in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 20. He says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Matthew writes, in chapter 1, verse 21, he says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God is with us. And then we read in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It reads, this Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation exists in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Bless the Lord. So we see, both within the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we see writers pointing to this Christ child, who will be not only our Savior and our Lord, but the hope for our future. Barbados has celebrated 56 years of independence and 1 year as a republic only a few days ago. And the question as to where we are and where we are going as a nation has come more sharply into focus around the time of our celebrations. Many are of the view, including the speaker, that we have lost our way. That, like a ship that has broken free its moorings, we too have broken free of our spiritual and moral moorings and have found ourselves adrift in the shifting, turbulent, and treacherous white water world of new cultural and moral values. Being buffeted from stern to stem, we have forgotten God. Forgotten God, who has been the people's guide, according to our national anthem, for the past 300 years. Forgotten God, who would have brought us through the starving time period, brought us through, and triumphantly so, the riots of 1937, brought us through Hurricane Janet, 1955, brought us to independence in 1966, who would have sheltered us across the years from countless national or natural and economic disasters, and most recently from the worst of the ravages of the still ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. We have rejected Christ, the center of our hope. We take delight in making pot shots at God's people, making mock sport at the church. Yes, please. I say to us, it's amazing how many persons can tell you about the church, whose shadows will never darken a church door, unless it be for a funeral or a wedding. The scripture reminds us in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, that a nation without God's guidance is a nation without order. And in Proverbs chapter 33 and verse 12, we read, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Today, in our country, there is an open disrespect to authority, to things of God, and to the elderly that has become a norm. Our children and adults cuss like pirates without provocation, using vile language as normal words. There is an open propensity to provocation and violence from the youngest to the oldest, and many accept recreational sex as easy as they do recreational drugs. Barbados today has recorded 39 murders for the year, 37 males and 2 females. 27 of these murders have been death by shootings. I should point out that the parish of St. Michael, the parish of my church, the Liberty Church of the Nazarene, continues unabated to be the crime and murder capital of Barbados. Out of the 39 murders, St. Michael is responsible for 24 victims. It is not only the young and the restless that have been the victims of these crimes. Barbados has lost an 86-year-old woman and a 72-year-old man to violence this year. in many of our inner city communities. The residences are experiencing feelings of fear and dread as violence and mayhem, the result of gang warfare, is being waged. Despite police assurances, communities are still experiencing continual lawlessness. I observed with interest that the Jamaican dancehall artist Mavado, an artist known for the promotion of bad boy lyrics with an emphasis on gun violence, has once again been given the green light to perform in this country. Every day, the airwaves is filled with some of the dirtiest and most explicit lyrics coming from the likes of Mavado. These songs emanate from minibuses, private vehicles, homes within our communities. Our young people from primary work through to adults listen and know these songs by heart. They sing along with their favorite rap and dance hall singers. And most of these songs promote gun violence, illicit sex, vulgarity, and are presented in the most explicit manner. I have to ask the question, how serious are we about arresting the situation in our country? How serious are we about protecting the minds and the lives of our youths? Or are we simply content to play politics while filling our pockets with filthy lucre? This hypocrisy is the reason why it's nigh impossible to stop the importation of drugs and guns into this country. The reason why perpetrators of gun violence are arrested, but the big up importers of guns and drugs continue to roam free to put more and more young and innocent lives at risk. Across our country, in almost every community, access to drugs is as easy as access to our favorite soft drink. And in some of our communities, children of primary school age are known to be openly smoking marijuana. The feeling that is being experienced by many is one of doom, gloom, and darkness. We have chosen the creation over the creator. We have sacrificed God on the altar of personal happiness and carnal pursuits. We have sown to the wind, and beloved, we are reaping the whirlwind. Regionally and globally, there's also this sense of hopelessness as we have a war being raged across Europe. As a result of this war, food, energy, and financial resources are strained. It has strained and created instability in many countries. Many continue also to be concerned in the face of the undying coronavirus pandemic. Climate change and its impact on small nation states have led to increase in drugs, floods, in droughts, floods, tsunami, earthquakes, and of course, hurricanes. If we as a people are going to pull out of this negative place we're in, and if we're going to have a brighter future and be more able to look to the future with hope, then it is imperative that we get back to God. It's imperative that we seek the Christ child, that we promote Christ again as Lord and as Savior, both in the church and outside the church. There's a mandate that we have to spread the good news that Jesus Christ is mighty to save and that he is strong to deliver. The hope of every hurting family, every broken family, every fearful, disillusioned soul, beloved, is Jesus. An old song used to be sung years gone by. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Without him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. In Joshua chapter 24, we read, Joshua said, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Statistics have shown that those who embrace Christ as a personal savior and serve him faithfully, I didn't say go to church. I said those who embrace Christ as a savior and serve him faithfully, they go on to live healthier and better lives, make more meaningful contributions to the community and to their world. Such persons who embrace Christ are less likely to become drug addicts and alcohol addicts, less likely to be held for serious criminal offenses. Such individuals are more sociably adaptable and they're more productive. Persons who embrace Christ have no fear of death. For they are mindful of the word of God that says to us, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We therefore are challenged today to understand that Christ is the only source of our hope and that we need to get back to Christ. Parents and guardians alike must take a serious role in ensuring that their little ones, their minds are shaped and conditioned by God's word, and that they are open to accepting and embracing Christ at the earliest of age. This is the way for us to go. We read in the book of St. Matthew chapter 11, Christ himself said to every hurting heart, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, he that have the Son, in John chapter 5, 12, he that have the Son have life, and he that does not have the Son does not have life. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I like John chapter 10, 9 to 11. He says, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Bless the Lord. Today I challenge you this morning, beloved, ladies and gentlemen across Radio Land, I challenge you today to seek Jesus and make him a part of your life and allow those who are under your charge, allow for them to be able to know that Christ is the way to go. So as I come to the close of the program today, I just want to remind you this morning that in this Advent season, Jesus is indeed our real source of hope. This program has been brought to you by the Church of the Nazarene and by the kind compliments of Federal Motor Spurs. Federal Motor Spurs is located on the Bank Hall Main Road. The Church of the Nazarene over at Spikestown wishes for us to know that they are hosting an open-air concert at the Spikestown Esplanade, and it's going to be under the theme Christmas in the Heart, too. This concert is to be staged on December the 10th and commences from 4 o'clock p.m. until 6 o'clock p.m. On behalf of our district superintendent, the Reverend Dr. Martel Farley, the pastors of our church, I ask today that you would continue to look to Christ. And I pray today that you all will have a wonderful and a blessed day. Let's bow our heads for prayer as we close. Father God, today we thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be able to share your message again with this audience. I pray, Divine Father, this morning that in this Advent season, I pray, Father God, we will not be consumed or so caught up in looking at the making preparation for the physical aspects of a Christmas season. But my prayer, O God, is that we will look at the preparation of the heart. I pray today your blessings will be upon us. May you cover and remember every believer this morning, every church today. I pray blessings be over upon our services. And I pray upon the nation Barbados today that you'll be a blessing to them. Father God, I release this audience into your hands and give your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Because
final war. Life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory, and I'll know my Jesus lives,
because he lives.
I can face tomorrow,
because he lives. All fear is gone.